It is 9:02, and if you're joining us online, this is the LB&A Committee's first meeting in the 29th Legislature. We're in room 519, House Finance Committee. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Quito.
Present.
Representative Olson. Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Pruitt. Representative Newman. Vice Chair Hawker.
Present.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Giesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman.
Here.
Senator Kelly. Chair McKinnon.
Here. Thank you, Mr. Clerk. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I call the organizational meeting of the 29th Alaska State Legislature Legislative Budget and Audit Committee meeting to order. I will serve as honorary chair as we elect a chairman for the legislature. Are there any nominations? Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I nominate Representative Hawker.
Are there any additional nominations? Seeing and hearing none, the nominations are closed. Is there any objections? Hearing none, Representative Hawker, the gavel.
Thank you, ma'am. The symbolic gavel passing. Okay, I will recall to order the first meeting of the 29th Legislature's Alaska Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I would like to start by first personally thanking Representative Representative Fairclough, and boy, would that have been a mistake. Senator McKinnon, for her guidance on this committee the past 2 years. You've taken on some really good issues. You've done truly a great job of managing this committee and representing the people of the state of Alaska and the work we do here. So again, thank you very, very kindly. This purpose of this meeting is then going to be to finish our organization, which the first order of that business will be the nomination of Senator McKinnon as our vice chair. So with that, I nominate Senator Anna McKinnon as vice chair of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for the 29th Alaska State Legislature, and I move and ask unanimous consent that the nominations be closed. Is there objection? Hearing see none. The question before the committee is the election of Senator Anna McKinnon as our vice chair for the 29th Alaska State Legislature. Is there objection? Hearing see none. Congratulations again. You're now vice chair.
Thank you.
Very happy to have you. And we'd also like to welcome for our quorum call Representative Pruitt. Welcome, sir. What we're moving into, first item on the agenda will be the approval of the minutes from the December 16th, 2014 meeting. Senator McKinnon, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair Hawker. I would like to point the committee's attention to page 15 on the December 16 minutes and ask the clerk to amend the minutes to reflect a change of Janik Mayer's name. It says Meyer instead of Mayer. It is under 1134.29. Under Representative Hawker's second paragraph, one, two, three, four, fifth line down at the very end of the sentence, it should be Mayor, not Meyer.
And Madam Vice Chair, just for clarification purposes, that is in that name changing the first E to an A.
That's correct.
Thank you very kindly. So with that noted correction, Vice Chair McKinnon.
I move that the minutes from the LB&A meeting as amended on December 16, 2014 be approved as presented.
So the question before the committee is the approval of the December 16, 2014 minutes. Is there objection? Hearing see none. Those minutes are adopted. Okay. This meeting is an organizational meeting. It will be our intent is to keep it brief, fairly high level. Most of the folks on the committee have served. I think we've got a couple of House members who haven't been on this committee before, but they are all sage and experienced Alaska State legislators, and I'd like to specifically welcome you all here. And at this point, the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee has three duties. One duty is the duties of the chair dealing with the ministerial issues that we've been assigned to take, consider. Largely, a lot of these come out of audits. Sometimes they come out of legislative direction. So we will have a status report, an outgoing transition report on a subcommittee that was in process at the end of last committee by Senator McKinnon. We'll have Mr. Teal, who is one of our employees, give us a very brief conversation about LBNA's relationship with Ledge Finance. And then Chris Curtis, our state auditor, will give us a quick brief as well, and then we'll get on with the business at hand today. So, Senator McKinnon, could you give us an update or a closeout conversation about the subcommittee we had last legislative session on corporations, business, and professional licensing boards?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask for a point of personal privilege.
Absolutely, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, I just would like to publicly acknowledge my staff who've worked very hard to support this committee over the last 2 years. First off, my Chief of Staff, Laura Pierre, and Aaron Schein has worked very hard on the LBNA Occupational Licensing and Board Subcommittee. So just a personal thank you, as well as I'd like to extend a thank you to Chris Curtis and David Teal, who have been exemplary in their performance for the state of Alaska and truly a gem for all of us and a resource that we should utilize even more than we do now. So just thank you to all above. So,
Madam Chair, to that point of personal privilege, as it has been my privilege to be working with you and your staff and our employees during the last legislative session as well, your words could not be more heartfeltly echoed by myself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With that, the LBNA Occupational Licensing and Board Subcommittee held 9 meetings over the last year to discuss some of the issues raised by our constituents, professional licensees, and board members. Our meetings focused on a variety of topics, including indirect cost, investigation, board member travel issues, and lack of financial information provided to the boards to make decisions. The subcommittee directed my staff to work on drafting potential legislative changes that could help address some of these issues. These changes include cleaning up statutes of an inactive board, looking at options to help mitigate the indirect costs for licensees, as well as addressing some of the travel issues brought to our attention. We're currently working with Chairman Hawker's office to transition the work we started and hope to continue to assist in this process as we move forward. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
And thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Before we go to questions or discussion, just point out I did not see sitting in the back row, we have Representative Ryan Bolt, who has been here, I believe, for most of the meeting. So questions or comments from the membership on the closeout report here, specifically as it relates to our subcommittee on corporations, business, and professional licensing? I think it's fair to say this has been a major issue that's been before this committee for the past 4 to 6 years. There's been a lot of effort put into this. It is going to be, I think, a very important element of this committee as we do our oversight of agencies in the coming year to continue to follow up for the implementation of the commitments that have been made to us by corporation professional licensing, and we are considering legislation on a go-forward basis that came out of that subcommittee that we will consider at a future meeting. Fair to say, ma'am?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I do want to acknowledge Sarah Chambers, who's been working with us on that. She is in the audience today if the members had questions. So I thank her for taking time out of her day to make sure that she was available to us.
Thank you, ma'am. And we are also joined by Representative Olson.
Mr.
Good
Chairman.
Morning, sir.
I thought I was 20 minutes early, but obviously I'm not.
You are. No, and we made your motions for you.
Oh, thank you.
But Senator Diesel, ma'am.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment that the members, my constituents who serve on boards and commissions are thankful for the progress that's been made. They do see the efforts and they see the results and they're very grateful.
Thank you very kindly. And that was a thankless task undertaken by Senator Fairclough's staff herself. And I got to tell you, Aaron, it is just really, really appreciated for all the work you did put into that. Not to discount Laura, but that was your bailiwick. Further discussion on corporations, boards, and hearing see none. Mr. Teal, would you like to come forward and join us briefly here? Familiar face in this committee room. And again, this is just it's an overview, an opportunity for any one of us that might have a question for Mr. Teal. But Mr. Teal, it's just for the record, and particularly for a couple of our newer guys, can you explain the role of Ledge Finance and its relationship to the LBNA committee?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman.
Three minutes or less.
I can. I'm David Teal. I'm the legislative fiscal analyst, and I work for you. So most of you are familiar faces to me because you're on finance, have been, or even have been chairs of the finance committee. So you know that most of the work that legislative finance does is related to the appropriation process and specifically in preparing the bills, getting the whole budget through the process. Our work for the committee is primarily with RPLs, which for those of you that don't know are revised programs legislative, and they are something that the committee reviews. They are requests to spend unanticipated receipts. Departments make them, you review them. If you approve them, the departments have the authority to spend that money. As former Chair McKinnon says, we can and have done more than that. We participated, for instance, with the contract, but we're here to do anything that the committee requests of us. And that's probably all you need to know.
And we certainly will be making requests. But I would like to make a very clarifying statement with these RPLs. This committee is not an appropriating committee. We do not have the statutory authority to make new appropriations. That these RPLs are where we have the authority to accept, and particularly in the interim when the finance committees are not in session, to accept additional unanticipated funds for issues that have already been appropriated. We cannot create new appropriations in this committee. Fair to say, Mr. Teal?
Fair to say, and it's actually a fairly limited list of types of funds, mostly federal receipts, but there are a few others.
So, questions for Mr. Teal? Hearing see none, you're off easy this morning, David.
Thank you.
It will not go as well for Chris Curtis, I imagine. Chris, come on up and join us, please. And Chris Curtis is, of course, our state legislative auditor. I point out that she does report to this committee, but she is a person who is appointed and serves with the full confirmation of both the House and the Senate. So, Ms. Curtis, could you introduce yourself to us?
Thank you. My name is Chris Curtis. I am the legislative auditor, and I'm responsible for the Division of Legislative Audit. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself. I would also like to introduce some key staff members that this committee will be working with or seeing over the next 2 years. First is Stacy Nylon. Stacy Nylon is our administrative assistant too. If you are booking any travel related to LBNA, she's the person that will be coordinating that travel. Next is Richard Radford. Richard Radford is our newly hired communications specialist too. He edits all of our reports and correspondence, and he will also be helping me hand out reports and that type of thing at the meetings. And then finally, Ross Alexander. Ross Alexander is our procurement specialist and our performance review manager. Okay.
Thank you. I very much appreciate all the work you folks do, and I as chair, and certainly on behalf of the entire committee, will look forward to working with you this coming session.
An important part of this first organizational meeting is the introduction of the Legislative Budget and Committee Handbook. And if you have served on this committee in prior session, you have already have this handbook, but I'm going to ask that you swap it out for this new version because there are changes. And for those of you who aren't familiar with this handbook, it includes the authorizing statutes of this committee and the two permanent staff agencies, the Division of Legislative Audit and Division of Legislative Finance. It includes information about each of those agencies, including organization charts. But it also includes the committee's formal policies and procedures. As provided for in statute, the committee is authorized to adopt rules to conduct its business and develop procedures for its functions, and this committee has chosen to do so. If you turn to page 39, you're going to see these procedures, and some of them date back to the 1950s. So these formal procedures have been around for quite some time. They cover many aspects of what this committee does, but some of the more important ones are the report release process for the audits and the performance reviews, addresses how audit requests are to be considered and approved, addresses such things as contracts, how that process is to work, and administrative type things like travel. And I want to take a few moments to emphasize the confidential report distribution process you find on page 47. Statutes make the audit and performance review process a confidential process, and it is important that you and your staff take measures to prevent the premature release of audits and performance review information until this committee has had the opportunity to review and approve its release. Reports are released in a multi-phase process. The first time you see a report, it will be considered preliminary. It's handed to you when you sit down in your chair at a committee meeting. The committee goes into executive session to protect that confidentiality. I'll go through the report conclusions and the recommendations and field questions on the report. Once out of executive session, there is an opportunity to vote for the release preliminary. But even after that report is released preliminary, which means it goes to the agency for formal comment, it maintains its confidential status. And the committee, the agency being audited or reviewed, is asked to provide formal comments. That is a confidential communication between that agency and our office. We take those formal comments, we put them together with the preliminary report, and we bring that reporting package back to this committee for release final. Now, the final reports are provided to members in advance of the meetings, and during session, at least 2 days in advance of the meetings. And out of session, it has to be mailed to arrive at least 4 days in advance of a meeting. The procedures are somewhat strict. You will get a sealed envelope. It will be marked confidential. You or your staff members will be asked to sign for the report. And the reports will be printed on blue paper. And that is to help each of you identify that that's a confidential performance review or document, so you can keep those separate from all the other information you may have sitting on your desk. And then the consideration of the report during the meeting is very similar to the preliminary. We'll go through executive session and go over the results and then field questions. Are there any questions about the confidential distribution process? Okay. I've been asked to address or summarize the audit workload, and I've done that in a memo addressed from myself to Representative Hawker. It's a one-page memo in your stack. Just quickly, want to summarize that there are 9 special audit requests in our workload, 4 mandatory sunset audits, and 1 special audit. What you can expect to see in the upcoming months, if you look at that list of audits, is the 3 audits you see are 65 to 95% complete. You should expect to see the Alaska Public Offices Commission audit come to you in the next few months, the Alaska Pioneer Homes audit, and the statewide single audit. If you're looking down that list, most of these audits have been assigned or will be assigned in the next few months. There are a few exceptions. The Alaska Regional Development Organization audit request, also referred to as ARDRs. That was requested in 2013, but those agencies were not reauthorized at the end of that session, so they were terminated. We kept that audit request in our workload with the idea that those agencies may be reauthorized the next year, which they were. So we are holding that audit until at least 1 year is completed, and so we have something to review, and we will pick that back up. The MV Testamina, overhaul and refurbishment, we did get that up and going, but it has been put on hold because there is an administrative proceeding, and we're waiting for that to be completed before we pick that audit back up. And then finally, MATMAID. MATMAID is an old audit request requested from Senator Green, I believe about 5 years ago. It included several objectives, and all except one have been reported on. We were asked to report on the disposition of the assets, the sale of the assets of MATMAID, and there is one building that has not been sold. So we have that still in our hopper, and when that building is sold, we will be picking that up back up and reporting. And the other area I wanted to emphasize is there are 4 sunset agencies that have termination dates of June 2016. So we'll be getting those audits underway this year and reporting for the next session. Any questions on the audit workload? Okay, moving down the list, I was also asked to prepare a memo that summarized the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee responsibilities. So that 11-page memo is also in your packet. It's for your information. It's extensive. It's good to read at your convenience. I just want to let you know what's in that memo. LBNA's main function is to provide the legislature with fiscal analysis, budget analysis, and audits and performance reviews. In that regard, statutes give the committee very broad powers. These include the power to review revenue projections, review state agency appropriation requests, review the expenditure of state funds, and the fiscal policies and procedures of state government. The committee can make recommendations concerning appropriations, their expenditure, and fiscal policies to the governor and to the legislature. Most of the primary powers you'll find in your committee handbook. The statutes are 242201 and 206, but there are other sections of statutes that give the LBNA committee oversight responsibilities and often designate the committee as the primary representative of the legislative branch of government. So what you have in that memo, most of it summarizes those lesser known statutory responsibilities as they pertain to the committee, and the degree to which those powers have been exercised over the years has varied at the discretion of the LBNA chair. So that's just a summary of everything in the statutes that mention the LBNA committee and an historical account of to what extent the committee has been involved in those areas.
And on this, and again, we're not going to read through this, but there's a lot of historic statute that has led to giving us various responsibilities that are listed in this report, as well as when you look at the handbook and see the current ongoing statutory responsibilities of this committee, I would invite every member, please, that has a concern, question, or wants to provide input into the direction we take this committee, the things we undertake the next 2 years, to please get in touch with my office. And I was going to save introducing Paul in until the very end of this and let her take her bow, but I'll do it now. My committee aide is Pauline Swanson for the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. She has been one of my longest time committee aides, has served with me in the Ways and Means Committee, the Finance Committee, Lord knows how many other committees, and she has recently done a 2-year tour of duty as the Assistant Leg Liaison for Governor Parnell. So first, I would like to welcome her back to the legislature and suggest that Pauline will be our point person for all these sort of things, and anything, any concerns or otherwise that any member of this committee has, please take it up. Feel free to take it up completely with Pauline. So thank you, and Pauline, welcome back.
If there's no questions on the memo, we'll move into the next area, and that's the last from my position, and that is the HB 30 performance reviews. And again, I want to introduce Ross Alexander and ask him to come up. Ross is our performance review manager, and he's going to summarize the performance review process.
By statute passed a couple of years ago, these performance reviews are becoming a significant and increasing component of the work performed by the legislative auditors' staffs. These are something that we decided as a legislature were very important. They do not come cheaply. Big agencies do involve a certain cost, and it will be incumbent upon us as this committee to continue to evaluate and review and determine that our cost benefits to the legislature, to the state, for continuing to conduct these are appropriate. So it's something, again, I would always add. It's not in any way, shape, or form a criticism of the process, but it's certainly something we will need to keep in mind as we go forward. So, Ross, welcome. If you'd introduce yourself.
My name is Ross Alexander. I'm the Performance Review Manager for the Division of Legislative Audit. So I'll give you a brief overview of the process that we go through with these performance reviews and then a current status of where we're at. So in 2013, the legislature passed House Bill 30, requiring the Division of Legislative Audit to complete performance reviews of each state department at least once every 10 years. The legislation also outlined the order in which each agency is to be reviewed, starting with the Department of Corrections last year and moving on to Health and Social Services this year. Statutes governing the performance review provide a list of areas the review team may evaluate, but each performance review has a unique scope that is developed by our division with input and final approval coming from this committee. So after the scope is approved, we then conduct a competitive procurement to hire a contractor or contractors to conduct each review. The contractors are selected based on their experience of the experience in the issues covered by the agency under review, and their knowledge of the performance review process. These performance reviews, which are conducted by the contractor but facilitated by our office, are in systematic assessments of the appropriateness, effectiveness, and efficiency of a department, agency, or program, and are meant to provide information that can improve the entity's performance and assist the legislature in the decision-making process. The other major component of these reviews is that the review teams seek to identify a list of programs supported by general funds that can be cut or reduced without affecting the ability of the department to fulfill its mission or reduce required services to the public. After the contractors complete their field work, they compile their findings and recommendations into a final report. That report is then presented to this committee for release as a public document. As I mentioned earlier, the first agency to undergo its review was the Department of Corrections, and that final report was released by this committee at its December 16th meeting. We're currently underway on the Department of Health and Social Services review, and given that department's size and scope of services, we've split the review into four parts. We've hired contractors to look at behavioral health services, long-term care services, and the department's organization and administrative structure. Additionally, we will be analyzing the department's self-reported data with our own staff. Field work is underway, and the final reports are expected to be completed next fall. The next department up for their performance review is the Department of Education and Early Development next year. Any questions?
Senator Hoffman, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder if I can get the schedule for the rest of the departments and when that might happen.
Through the chair, yes, you may.
If I might point out, Senator Hoffman, our ever-efficient legislative auditor has already provided you that information. It's on page 19 of the handbook.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
You're very welcome, sir. Senator McKinnon, ma'am.
Mr. Chairman, in past committee meetings, when we were reviewing the Department of Corrections response to the audit, we talked about the possibility of changing Alaska state statute because of the specific request asking for the cut. We found, I'll speak for myself, I found the corrections fairly non-responsive in actually cutting themselves. And so I believe the contractor has suggested some language that we might consider to expand our ability to receive vital information to the committee. Do you recall that, Representative Hawker? Or if not, I can go back through the meeting minutes. I recall something that was said of it being a very narrow bandwidth for the department, and the department had little flexibility because of the words that we chose in Alaska state statutes on the cut. And if anyone else has any recollection, or if I might ask our auditor or Ross to give us feedback.
Madam Chair, I think you've summarized the outcome, one of the outcomes of the first review that was conducted. And we certainly had a lot of discussion in this committee, the 28th Legislature's committee, about the challenges that our outside examiners had in working with the agency and in securing the cooperation of the agency, and especially the agency's direction to provide an estimate of, I believe it's also here in the book, but I'll cite it. It's section 4466.020, subparagraph C. The agency shall provide to the review team citations for their authorities, but a list of programs or elements of programs that comprise at least 10% of the general funds in the agency's budget appropriated from the general fund that could be reduced or eliminated. That is something the agencies simply are not cooperating with, and as Senator McKinnon noted, it's something that we will need to be addressing in this committee. What we do with that provision, how we either add some more teeth to it, or how do we actually make this process work so that we actually get the agency to continue to help us evaluate where their program efficiencies are, where and one of the concerns that comes in is when you ask the agency to do it, they take a Washington Monument strategy. So you know, we asked the corrections for 10, and I'm being hypothetical here, we ask them for a 10% cut. They say the easiest way, hypothetically, would be to release all of the long-term, most aggressive felons that cost us the most to keep incarcerated. You know, that kind of thing we are going to be facing throughout this process. So as Senator McKinnon says, we're going to need to go back, revisit, think about the experience we've had, and figure, I think, a way to move forward more effectively in accomplishing the goals we want to accomplish. Senator McKinnon, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to those comments, it's the language itself that actually hampered the contractor's ability to recommend other things to the legislature. So our own language was hampering them from actually suggesting other items that the legislature might consider from their experience. And so in the Department of Corrections audit, what was suggested to breach the dollar amount, I believe, was the closure of Goose Creek, which was operating at the highest dollar cost, but also functioning well from a security perspective. So, again, I don't want to be the red herring in the group, but it is an issue as we have our auditors invest their time to make sure that the value that we receive back is what we want, and that when we hire experts, that they're able to actually give us their best recommendations and not have our own language hamstring us in what we're trying to get to. Because the bill is a good bill, especially with what Alaska is facing right now. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
This has, I guess, puts the world on notice. We really need to look at seeing if we need to amend the language in that statute to be more efficacious in accomplishing our desired goals. Ross, did we interrupt you there any more?
Nope, that was all I had.
Further questions on the performance reviews? I guess hearing see none, I thank you. Really, the last item of substance I did want to identify for the committee is our ongoing consultant contracts and potential future contracts. As this committee is the committee that is generally delegated by statute or direction of our leadership organizations in the House and Senate to procure the professional resources the legislature needs in addressing the issues that are before the legislature. For many years, we've had the oil and gas consultants, as through our long winding process, were secured through this committee. Currently, the only oil and gas consultants we have that we have engaged are the folks we're very familiar with from testimony last legislative session and testimony that will be coming, I believe, later this week in Senate Resources as well as Senate Finance. Janik Mayer and Nicholas Safos, both formerly with the PFC organization, but they have now been providing direct services to us. Their background is very strong in economics, and my comment to this committee is they provide an extraordinarily good service to the state of Alaska. They have served us very, very well. But as we move into a new era and perhaps looking at evaluating contracts of a different sort, this committee always needs to be prepared and contemplating the resources we need and have the resources available that provide us a full suite of professional skills to address these very mission-critical issues that are before us that have the potential of resulting in, you know, many, many, many billions of state commitment. So it's something I've started a dialogue with Senator Stedman. He and I have been doing these oil and gas consultants together for about 12 years. And I'd like to start a dialogue with members of the committee. We'll have some public consideration as we look at what the resources the legislature really, really needs to anticipate what we hope to see happening in gas pipeline development this coming legislative session. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, you know, looking at this subject and thinking back of the, as you referenced, many years that we've worked on this subject together, and especially for the new members, I think it might be beneficial for all of us if the staff had a little bit of time to kind of put together the history of some of our consultants. Because as I recall back, probably 6 or so years ago, the consultants at LBNA had, we used to have quite a deep bench of consultants to draw from, and we used to be able to prepare ourselves for, you know, coming events over the next year or 2 years, because some of these issues do with oil and gas are complex, and you can't bring somebody in, expect them to come up to speed in a couple of weeks or a month. But anyway, so we can kind of remind ourselves of who the past consultants were. But several years ago, there was a drift from LBNA to the administration. Some would call it inadvertent, some would call it, you know, embedded politics, but at the end of the day, it left the legislature with an extremely shallow bench. And we weren't, the time element worked against us to respond, and we ended up having to rely a lot more than I think a lot of us would have liked on the administration. Subsequent to that, we were a little bit more cautious on compromising our consultants with the administration. And then as we fast forward to today, it might be beneficial to LBNA to take kind of a look at the history of who we had under contract, who we worked with, to make sure that our bench is broad enough. Because when we look 2 years is the lifetime of this committee, we're going to have most likely gas subject matters of complexity in front of us. We're going to have an intermingling of oil economics in it, and we could have a separate oil issue at some time also. But clearly we're going to have gas issues, and I'd like to see LBNA prepared with a bench of consultants tooled up, ready to go, so when the legislature, if it's the resources, which is normally the first committee of referral, possibly oil and gas in the House, that they have the toolkit to actually engage, so we're not relying wholly on the administration. And I recognize that we've got a couple of consultants that formulated their own firm a couple years ago after the acquisition of the what was it?
PSC.
Yeah, PS. Yeah. Anyway, and they were compromised out through contracts with their acquirer of Exxon. But clearly we need a broader bench, in my opinion. And sometimes it's nice for us to even have almost overlapping consultants. That hasn't really hurt us in the past neither, especially when we're remembering some of the discussions when we were dealing with oil economics and gas economics, when we were clearly intertied through our tax structure, which I think we've separated and dealt with that effectively. But I just am a little concerned that the legislature will be caught flat-footed with a bench that is too narrow.
And Senator Stedman, I stand ready, and my staff are ready to spend some time working with you and bringing forward recommendations to this committee. I share certainly I'm in alignment with your concerns. Representative Keto.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On that subject, I was thinking in regard to consultants and having the necessary economic expertise, I'm wondering if it might also be beneficial to have some contract expertise. I think we're going to be getting into kind of a new stage of the project or a potential project. There may be some benefit there.
And Representative Keto, I think in my own conversation here, the word consultant also included the need for legal expertise on exactly that matter. Very much I agree with you completely. It's a very different thing than economic analysis.
Thank you.
That would move us on to education consultants, which this committee was charged by the passage of House Bill 278 last year to conduct two procurements to obtain consultants for education issues, and oversimplifying it, but one was really to look at how our current funding formula is working in the state, and the other was to look at alternatives to the existing funding approach taken to the state of Alaska. Both of those procurements are underway, and being underway, I am strongly reminded by my ledge auditor friends and friends up in procurement that provides us a very limited ability to discuss what's going on there now, other than to say those procurements are underway, and as they progress forward and the proper confidentiality is maintained, we'll bring those results back to this committee. Last one, I threw this on here, and as a potential, I just want you all to know that I'm thinking about it. Certainly one of the issues that will be before the legislature this year is the potential expansion of Medicaid in the state. I know I've read in various public formats that the Senate is considering engaging their own professional evaluative support for potential Medicaid expansion, but it's something that I'll be working with leadership in both the House and the Senate, members of this committee, to talk about whether this committee, being the joint committee where we can procure and provide a professional resource to help us understand all of the complexities and consequences of Medicaid, a proposed Medicaid expansion that would be available to both the House and the Senate. So I just want to let everybody know that it's on my radar screen and it's something I'll be taking up with basically all of our finance chairs as well as with the rest of our leadership in the legislature to see if it's if this is the right forum, because, again, as the joint committee of both bodies, and specifically noting those statutory authorities and requirements that we have to provide counsel to both finance committees and the governor on matters of state fiscal policy and program operations, that this might be the appropriate forum for us to engage those services. But it's an open discussion I'm looking forward to having with folks. That was the end of my agenda for the organizational meeting here. Provide a little information to folks. Senator Fairclough reminds me that one of the other things we do as chair here is establish protocols that ensure accountable, responsible contract management. And we do that. The use of consultants through the legislature is done through the committee chair. That is the triage function of this job. We'll be reiterating the memo that we wrote basically 4 years ago. Senator Fairclough reiterated it 2 years ago, and we're going to reiterate it again on process, so that will be forthcoming. But there are protocols for accessing and utilizing the consultants that are on staff. Further comments or questions? Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, just as a guest in the House Finance Committee room and now acting in the LBA capacity, I just want to voice an official complaint. When I grabbed the coffee pot, that's the thinnest coffee I've ever seen, Mr. Chairman. I know we've got tight budgets, but they were tighter than expected.
Having been a former chair of the House Finance Committee, Senator, you have to understand that over here, we don't have money for both water pots and coffee pots, and we have a single communal coffee pot in the back of the room that you are welcome to avail yourself of. So, anyway, but again, I do like to maintain a certain as much light humor as we can in meetings, this is a very serious committee, and I do want to close on a serious note of thanking you all for the dedication, commitment you all have to the state. We do have some serious challenges before the state, as we've always had. And this committee will be a very important part of working and guiding our state to successful addressing, consideration, very public vetting of the issues, and reaching, hopefully, solutions that are in the very best interest of the state. And I commend and thank you all for serving. So unless there is other business to come before the committee, we'll stand adjourned.